so thankful that God is working in so many different ways, and it's a blessing. It's exciting to see what God is doing. I don't know if you have seen him move, but he is moving. I'm telling you, he is touching hearts. He is getting a hold of people. I've seen people get more serious about the Lord, and that's a blessing when we see those things. A lot of times the devil wants us to focus on every bad thing that's happened, right? Everyone that's walked away, everyone that's quit on the Lord, everyone that's done these things. But I'm telling you what, we can celebrate the things that God has done and just trust that what he's done, he'll continue to do. Amen? Because he promised that he would. But I'm thankful for the Lord this morning. I'm glad we can come in together. But we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12, so about the middle there. We're going to look at Paul's second letter to the church of Corinth, just a piece of it this morning. And again, as we get into God's word, I'll remind you that this is error-free, right? This is there is no problems with the word. We don't have to retranslate it this morning. I don't have to give you Mike's version or anything else. If I could do a version, it would take me forever if I were to come up with something like this. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I don't have to. We just have to get in it and see what it says. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what we read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. And as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That is with me, there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Lord, we thank you once again for your word. I'm glad we have it in our language that we can dig into it this morning. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do the work this morning to help me to preach, help us to listen, point out things that need pointed out. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you. We're so thankful that we've got real people we can look at in the word. And Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, if there are any lost or backslidden, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you before it's too late, that they'd find healing, and Lord, that we draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Paul's writing the second letter to the Corinthian church. One of the issues that are in the church, we didn't read everything, but if you look at the letters, especially this second letter to the Corinthians, there were many that were trying to convince the Corinthian church. Now, Paul plants the church. He visits there. He's written them a letter already, and one that we don't have. He wrote him another letter kind of in the middle. But they're trying to convince the church to reject Paul's authority and reject that he's an apostle. So that's what they're trying to do. And, you know, we've seen similar issues today, haven't we? We've seen things like that. People want to deny. You know, you hear a lot of people, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe all of the Bible. You know, I just believe the things that Jesus said, or, you know, I like James better than Paul, as if they're all against each other and you pick a side or anything like that. But they were denying Paul's authority back then. And the reason a false teacher will deny anything about the Bible is because they want to replace their own, right? They want to have their own version of Christianity. The things that Paul were saying was getting in the way, right? They didn't want that. And we see that today, right? People today, what do they want? They want a Christianity without any morals, right? So they can live however they want. They want a Christianity today that doesn't have any objective, constant truth, so that way they can make their own truth. Isn't that what this world's trying to do? It's my truth, your truth. No, that's opinions is what that is. We want real truth. They want a Christianity without a hell, so they'll never be accountable for anything. There'll be never any punishment for anything, so they get rid of that. And then, you know what a lot of times they do today? They turn words around. They'll take our words of repentance and justification and salvation and different things, and they'll change the meanings. And you know what they change the meanings to? Instead of it being, you know, your heart and an individual, they'll say God has healed the town, right? He's saving the town, or he's saving our society, or he's justifying them. So that way they can push to other social issues and things like that and say, you know what? Jesus, you know, he wasn't worried about sin and your soul. He was worried about the town, right? Columbus. He wants Columbus to be saved. Well, he does want Columbus to be saved, but it's one soul at a time. We're not saving cities or saving countries or anything like that, but you'll notice that's what they do today, right? They'll take words, they'll change meanings, and they'll say, no, I believe the same thing. Well, no, you don't. Not really. And this is the same thing. They had to get Paul out of the way so they can put their own version of Christianity, which is false religion. It's not Christianity. So in order to get rid of Paul's message, they attack Paul's character. Right? They attack Paul and attack his authority. And Paul defends his authority very quickly in this letter. It's in the first verse. We didn't read it. But he says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You know what he's saying right there? I didn't choose to be an apostle. I wasn't voted in. I didn't win a popularity contest. I didn't buy my way in. It wasn't because of a relative that I got in. The Lord chose me to be an apostle. In fact, it was pretty big. He got his attention there on the road to Damascus with a light brighter than the noonday sun and stopped him in his tracks. He said, I didn't choose that. I had letters to go keep persecuting against the church. And he chose me. And I'm here to tell you, they can attack us. And I'll tell you what, we should be standing on the same thing. Hey, the reason we are spreading the gospel, the reason we are serving the Lord, the reason we are where we are is by the will of God. Praise God. Because if it's your will, you'll quit. It'll fail. But if you're following his will, you'll be all right. But we will face persecution. We will face opposition. Paul did, so will we. He didn't choose it. 2 Corinthians 11:13, he tells us later, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So these very ones that were telling the church to reject Paul's authority, they were claiming to be apostles themselves, right? They were saying, hey, he's not a real apostle, but I am, so listen to me. And I'll tell you one thing, this may not be popular, but I don't really care, it doesn't matter. Anyone today who calls themselves an apostle, I'd be weary of them. Amen? They have not met any qualifications because there aren't any for an apostle today. Amen?
Yeah.
They've just decided, someone decided, maybe they decided themselves, I wake up one day, I'm going to call myself an apostle. That means nothing, okay? I hate to break it to people, but I'd be weary of them because a lot of them have given themselves titles and it's a pride problem. Anyway, I'll just tell you. But you know, he doesn't spend a lot of time defending his title, even though Paul really was an apostle. He just gives that one phrase and he moves on. And you know what? I've learned down through the years, you know, whether working for the Lord, serving the Lord and watching churches and growing up in churches or even at work on the work side, I've seen the same thing. You know who really deserves a title? If we're going to be honest with ourselves, is the one that'll do the work without it. Amen? They'll do what it takes. They'll do the work without the title. Those are really the ones that deserve it, not the one that wants the title. Have you ever met someone like that? They walk in, they want to be VP of this, you know, right out of high school, they think they're an expert or everything else, and it's like, my goodness, no. So he doesn't defend that very much, but look what he says. Well, he reminds the part we didn't read, kind of in between. He talks about the comfort that comes from the Lord. If you need comfort, there's a good, that first part of the chapter is a good handful of verses. Then after that, he talks about the Lord delivered him from death. But look at verse 12 where we started reading. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. So he is saying, hey, you know, they're attacking my character. They're attacking who I am. And he's saying, hey, remember how I carried myself when I was with you. Remember, here's how I act as an apostle. He said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. That first party is basically saying, hey, I have a clear conscience. They are attacking me. They're attacking my character. And I have a clear conscience about it. Now, it's very easy to say that, right? You can say that I'm not doing anything wrong. But what's he really saying behind that? He's saying, hey, the way I've carried myself, I have a clear conscience, and you can only really say that if your conduct matches the Bible. Amen? If you're living biblically, if you're in the middle of God's will, and the Holy Spirit isn't convicting anything, then yes, we can say the same thing. I've got a clear conscience. And I'll tell you what, that's important because sometimes the attacks that come at us are true, right? It's not all persecution. Sometimes people are attacking our character and it needs attacked, amen? We need to realize what we're doing is wrong. But he's saying, hey, I've got a clear conscience about all of this. And then I like what he says next, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, right? Not with fleshly wisdom, but the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. And Paul, one of the things to remember in the King James Version, when it says conversation, it's not just how you talk, it's how you live. How you live, how you talk, how you conduct yourself. So he's saying, hey, our conversation in the world, the way I am living, he's saying, if you watch me live, if you watch me interact, if you watch what I say and listen to it, I've done all of those things with simplicity and godly sincerity. I like that, don't you? He's saying, hey, I've been sincere. And I'm not trying to pull the wool over your head or anything like that. What the false teachers were trying to do, they were creeping in. And he said, they're trying to get you with fleshly wisdom. They're trying to get you with intelligence and logic and everything else to try to pull you away from the truth. And he's saying, hey, when I came to you, I didn't use logic. I didn't use all this worldly knowledge. I didn't use any of that. I gave you the truth in simplicity. I'm here to tell you, I wish more and more men, when they get up, and teachers, when they teach, I wish that they would just say things simply. Amen. Just give the truth of the gospel. We don't need to talk over anybody's head. It doesn't help anybody if it's over your head. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but if you were ever in school and maybe one time the first day of class you walked into the wrong class or I picked a wrong class one time and I went in there and they started at right on the first day they start talking about the subject and I knew no clue what they were talking about. I mean, it wasn't the right one. So they're already midway in their, you know, in their learning and their degree. And I'm stepping in there in the middle and they start talking and I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. Right?
Yeah.
Why would we ever do that from the pulpit? Right. Amen? Why would we ever do that? Why don't we just give what God says in simplicity so we can understand it? There's no question. The reason they don't do that is because they're not doing what the Bible says. They want their own agenda. They want their own beliefs. And so they make it so where, well, I'm the only one that can give you the truth. God forbid. Amen? That's what they were doing. They're saying, hey, we'll just trick them into believing that Paul's message was false. Trick them into abandoning the truth that they've been taught and going to another direction. Amen. You know what my prayer is for this church? When people come in here, they're not tricked. Amen.
Yeah.
They're not confused. I tell you what, they may not like the message, but they understand the message. Amen. It's clear. It's clear from the Word of God. And again, I already told you to be weary of apostles. Be weary of anyone who can't explain something clearly either from God. You know, be weary of that. If they're always talking over your head, you don't need to talk to them, right? You don't need to listen to them. Listen to someone who will plainly teach you the Word of God. And that's been my goal. But you know what else? Not just to give it to you plain. You know what my goal is, and this shouldn't surprise you, is I want you to get into this too. Amen?
Yeah.
This is not exclusive for the pastor, the preacher, the deacons. This is everybody.
Amen.
You know, there are some religions where they say you can't read this yourself, right? You can't understand this. They say, yeah, we believe the Bible, but don't you dare open that, right? Don't you dare get into that. You know why they say that? If their people got into this and they've been telling them, yes, you know, our false religion's right with the Bible, and they start reading them, they say, wait a second. The Bible says I'm not saved by works, and you want me to work all the time to get to heaven. Wait a second. I want us to get into this Bible every day, because at some point in your life, you will run into false teachers. Amen? We will run into them, and they'll be slick. And they'll have worldly knowledge, and they'll use logic, and they'll have great YouTube videos and everything else, a great production value, and they'll sound smarter and everything else. But it doesn't matter how smart they sound. If we get into God's Word, if we know what the truth says, you will be able to see the counterfeit every time. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. Now, this sounds a little tricky, but I think what he's just trying to say here is, he's saying, I've only written things that I want you to read. And I think it's kind of a weird way of saying, what I think he's saying is, hey, I'm not writing anything in here that's hidden. Right? What it says is what it says. Oh my gosh, we get this a lot today, right? They'll take a verse and they've pulled a million things out of it. I heard a preacher one time where it talks about a tent peg in the tabernacle, and it means this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, I think you're stretching that a little further. You know, some people are trying to find hidden meanings in everything when they won't just take the plain meaning of what God's Word says. Amen?
Amen.
This is not a mystery. You know what a lot of the Bible is? We know what it says. We just don't want to do it. It hurts. It causes us to change. And Paul's saying, hey, these guys are coming in trying to pull in all these hidden meanings. We've been talking to you about it lately with the eclipse, right? They're trying to pull every single hidden meaning out of something. They're trying to say, well, verse 4 of chapter 3 and here points to verse 4 in chapter 3 over here. Yet they're forgetting to tell everybody that the verse and chapter numbers weren't added till about 1,500 years later. Amen? How did they get the hidden meaning the first 1,500 years? It wasn't there. I know it's not popular, but that's fine. That's all right. Next time you see a social media post that tries to get some hidden meaning, just ignore it. Don't share it. I promise you, there's nothing. You know what the hidden meaning is? The part we haven't read. That's the hidden meaning. We hide it from ourselves. Amen? Again, not getting likes and shares, but that's fine. That's all right. They're trying to pull the church away from the truth and go away from Paul to somebody else. And Paul is saying, hey, no hidden meanings. No big words. Guys try to, you hear me say this, they try to throw in Greek and Hebrew words. They don't know Greek. They don't know Hebrew. I don't care if you've taken a class or two. It doesn't matter. I've taken English all my life, and I still don't understand it all. Amen?
Amen.
It's crazy. And do you think you're going to step into a language that they don't even speak the same way anymore and understand it? Anyway, I trust ye shall acknowledge even unto the end. You know what he's saying? I want you to just take the Word of God, grab hold of it, live by it, let it drive your life all the way to the end of your life. Amen? All the way let it drive you. That's what he's saying. And I agree with him. Verse 14, as also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's saying, well, you've acknowledged part of it. You believe part of it. He said, but I want you to acknowledge all of it and drop what the false teachers are saying. Why? So we and you can rejoice together all the way till the Lord returns. Amen. So here the false teachers have crept in. Remember, they're attacking Paul's character. They're attacking, they're claiming to be apostles. They're trying to convince the church that you can't trust Paul. So if you can't trust him as a person, you can't trust his teaching. And here's what they're attacking. Now I'm going to read a few verses from the previous chapter, or the previous book, 1 Corinthians 16:5. Now I will come unto you that when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. Paul's plan was this. I'm going to Macedonia, and when I go through to Macedonia, I'm going to stop and stay a while if the Lord permits. Okay, we got that? Now, on the way there, he's going to stop in Corinth. He's going to be with the church. He's going to try to be a blessing. Now go back to our passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in this confidence, I was minded to come to you before that ye might have a second benefit and to pass by you unto Macedonia and to come out again of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way towards Judea. So now this is some time later. He's looking back and saying, hey, I changed my mind. Originally, I was going to stop and visit you on the way to Macedonia. Then later, he changed his mind and he said, hey, I want to stop in Corinth on the way there, and I want to stop in Corinth on the way back. Got it? I mean, it's in the Bible. This is what he's saying. He planned these two visits. But then here's the problem. The beginning of chapter 2 in 2 Corinthians, he says, but I have determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. He went once, but he didn't come back again. He didn't come the second time. Why? He's saying, I believe when he's talking about the heaviness, he's saying, hey, it was a hard time when I came. Because he pointed some things out to the Corinthians that it wasn't probably the most joyful visit of Apostle Paul coming. There was a lot of nonsense. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, there was a lot of bad things going on in the Corinthian church, and they were allowing it. So when Paul came through, he kind of tanned their hides a little bit. He stepped on their feet. You know, he was saying, hey, some of these things got to change. And he decided for whatever reason not to stop again on the way back. And you know what? Those false teachers said, hey, Paul was going to come visit us, right? On the way there. Then later on, he's going to visit us on the way there and on the way back. And he only visited us once. Therefore, you can't trust Paul ever again. Right? That's it. That's how they attacked his integrity. Right there. They said, hey, he changed his travel plans. He didn't come see us twice. Even though we probably didn't want to see him again after his way out. On the way back, we're probably still stinging from the rebuke that he gave. But those false teachers said, hey, you can't trust Paul anymore. Yep, that's what they did. Look at verse 17. When I therefore was thus, I promise we're getting somewhere. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I propose or purpose, did I purpose according to the flesh that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? He's saying, hey, these false teachers are trying to convince you that what I say, I mean the opposite. When I say yes, I mean no. When I say no, I mean yes. They're attacking his integrity. And he's saying, hey, that decision not to stop the second time, I didn't make that decision lightly. I didn't just wake up one morning and say, I don't feel like going to Corinth again. He's saying, hey, it was with much heaviness. It was a hard decision. And I was not following the flesh either when I did it. And he's saying, and one of the things is he's defending himself. You know, he's saying, hey, but remember, they're saying you can't trust Paul, his message, because of who he is, because of what he's done. And we should stop right here. And it should be a reminder to us that this world is watching. Amen. They're watching us. They're listening to what we say. They're listening to how we act. They're listening to the promises that we make. And when we don't go through on our promises, some of them are pointing and say, look, You can't trust them after all. I told you they were no good, right? And to think of something as silly to me in my mind is whether he stopped twice or once. They're latching onto that and trying to convince the church to abandon Paul altogether. And if they're doing it to Paul, you better believe they're going to do it to you and I. Amen. They're going to watch us. They're going to watch us slip up. They're going to wait for something that a mark in our character. They're going to see that, latch on and say, hey, I told you so, right? I told you you can't trust them. They've been talking about Jesus. Look at what they've done. Isn't that what this world has? That's one hand. We got to know the world is watching. But on the other hand, if you listen to me, if you watch me long enough, it won't take you very long. You'll see something. You'll say, now, wait a second. Why'd he say that? Why'd he do that? Why'd he get angry like that? It's two sides of the coin. The world's watching, but we're not perfect. Right? And that goes for inside the church as well, amen. The church, we're watching each other, and we're not perfect. The closer we get to one another, the more flaws we find. And if you're sitting there and you don't understand, maybe you got a little more than others anyway. He's saying, hey, the world, we can't use this as an excuse. Because some of us will say, well, I'm not perfect. That drives me crazy when I hear Christians say that. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, are you trying to get a little closer to God? Amen. Are you trying to work on those things that are the issue? Because when you tell me I'm not perfect, that tells me you're not even trying. As if the same God that came through from heaven, the same God that created this universe, the same God that gave you a new heart, that same God can't help you overcome your anger. Ooh. I got a bigger God than you have. Amen. Yeah. He's helping me. Now, I'm making it hard, but he's helping me. If I look back in my life, I can see changes that he's made in my life. Amen. Yeah. You should see the same thing. No matter what you think of us, no matter what you think of me, you'll find fault. But as soon as he establishes that, he changes in verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. He said, hey, you watch me long enough, you'll find fault, but God, when you look at God, you're not going to find any fault, right? You are not going to see any. Why? Because God doesn't change his mind. God's yes doesn't mean no tomorrow, right? That may happen with me. That may happen with you. We may make a promise today and not understand what's coming in the future, right? And we may have to break that promise that we've made, but our God is not like that. When he makes a promise, he can see the future. He can already see it fulfilled. Amen. He knows what he's going to do. He's not yea and nay, but in him is yea. It is yes. It is amen. So what does that mean when we tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we explain what sin is, when we talk about Jesus dying for our sins and raising on the third day, when we describe the promises, right? Because that's what we need to do. We need to tell people about their sin, but also show them that they need to repent. They need to believe on Jesus Christ and call on his name for forgiveness of sins. And here, when you do all of those things, it's not a maybe, right? It's not a yes for now and maybe not yes later. It's eternal life. It is a brand new start. It's forgiveness of sins, not because I'm making the promise, but because he's making the promise, and because his word's eternal, and because he's eternal and he doesn't change. When God promises eternal life, that yea will never become nay. It is true. Amen. The promise we can hold on to. When you call on his name and ask him to forgive you of your sins, it is a yes, amen. That's what it is. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every single promise in God's word is true. Amen. Every one of them he will honor. If he hasn't fulfilled them yet, he will. Right? See, we're not like that. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, a lot of businesses have gotten into deals, big plans, and they didn't understand what was about to happen. That threw it all out of whack. And they had to declare bankruptcy and break contracts and everything else. I'm glad our God's not like that. Amen.
Amen.
He's not facing some new circumstance. He's not surprised. He knows what's going to happen, and he knows how to make and keep a promise. Paul wanted to come to Corinth twice, but his plans have changed. Right? That's what happened. And they were frustrated at Paul. And sometimes we get frustrated at each other, right? For not making good on our word. But don't you take it out on God, right? If I let you down, and I'm your pastor, and you may decide to leave this church, I'm not happy about that. But don't you leave God. Amen?
Amen.
If I've hurt you, don't take it out on God. Amen? And don't use me as an excuse when you know we all fall short of the glory of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. God's faithful. He's true. He's trustworthy. Every one of his promises will be fulfilled. You know, Paul's saying, you want to find fault in me? It's not that hard to do. Amen? It's not that hard to do. But if you're attacking me and then attacking the message that I bring from God, you're forgetting that God is perfect. And it's his message. Amen? He's holy. He's true. He's unchanging. You'll never be able to find fault in him.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
I'll never forget witnessing to somebody. They had grown up in a Christian home. And I don't remember the specifics of it anymore, but there was something that was done in that home that they were not happy about. And it was involving money, and kind of they went without as kids. And the missionary and everyone else got money, but they didn't get money, and they were hurt by that. And you know, I could have responded, and I could have said, you know what? You need to get over it. You know, that's sometimes what we want to say. But aren't you glad God gave me some words that I'd have never came up with if I'd have spent a week trying to think of what to say, right like that? You know what I told him? I said, you're right. That was wrong. That was wrong that was done to you, and I'm sorry. That person that did that to you may not be alive. They may have forgotten or whatever. They may not be willing to apologize. But on behalf of the church, I'm going to apologize and say, you know what? I'm sorry that happened to you. And we fall short. And you know what the Lord gave me? The exact same thing. I didn't have this ready. But this is basically what the Lord told me to do. And then he said right after that, say, but let me tell you about someone who will never let you down, who will never have to apologize to you, who will never have to do any of that. That's Jesus Christ. And in fact, he will save you, even though you, after you're saved, will let people down too. He'll still save you. Amen. And here's the thing. You want to attack my character. This is what Paul's saying. You won't be the first. But don't forget who you're taking it out on, and that's God. Amen? So what can we learn as we close from this passage? Remember, you and I are under the microscope, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. People are watching. The world's watching. Your family's watching. Your children's watching. The church is watching. They're all watching. So our goal is we want to live by God's grace as close as we can to his will. And I like what he said. Simplicity and godly sincerity. I like that. I'm going to start remembering that. Not only that, when we give that, well, I'm ahead of myself. That was the next thing. When we give people the gospel, it needs to be in simplicity and in sincerity. That's what it needs to be. We're not tricking anybody. We're just letting the truth of God do its work and letting the Holy Spirit do his work. And here's the thing, what I closed with. When you and I are attacked, you know what the best thing we can do? Is just admit our fault. And say, you know what, you're right. Apologize, and then turn to him. Amen? Turn to Jesus Christ. You can find fault in me easily. You will. You stay at this church long enough, you'll find fault. And guess what? I'll find fault in you. We don't like to hear that, do we? Well, I, I, I give myself all kinds of grace. I don't give others as much grace, but I give myself a lot. What we need to do is just admit it and say, you know what, you're right.
Amen.
You're right. But aren't you glad he saved me? I've let down the Lord so many times. Right? Haven't we?
Yes.
We've fallen short so many times. And I don't know why, but he decided to die for us. He decided to save us. He decided to call us. And he decided, I don't know why he didn't just, as soon as we got saved, pull us straight to heaven so we couldn't make any more mistakes. But he didn't do that. He's showing his grace and mercy each and every day with us, even as we're saved. And that's the message we need to bring to this world. They will attack our character. It will happen.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if it's false teachers, we just got to pray for them and say, Lord, get them to turn back to the truth. We got to mark and avoid them. That's what the Bible says. If you run into a false teacher, you warn people about them and you get away from them. But a lot of times the attacks are not false teachers. They are people that are frustrated. And they're frustrated at this. And they're frustrated at him, but they won't admit it. They're taking it out on us. You know what we need to do? Just keep on going.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm not in this job as pastor. Right? I can say something similar to Paul. I'm not here because I won a popularity contest. I'm here because he called me. Amen? Same with you. Where he's put you, you stay there. You keep working. And let's finish this race. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.